On behalf of Pastor Randy Barton and the Anchor Baptist Church, we welcome you to today's broadcast. In just a moment, we'll share a message from Pastor Barton, but we would like to take a moment and invite you to join us for services Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and Wednesday night prayer meeting begins at 7. Anchor Baptist Church is located at 3232 Hendersonville Highway in Pisgah Forest. And now, we go to the sanctuary of Anchor Baptist Church for a message from Pastor Randy Barton.
Find your place in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. But as you do, I tried several times this morning to quote this verse, and I could not get it to come out. And Brother Whittemore reminded me of it, of where it's found at, before the service is over. I had it in my mind. Let me read you 2 Corinthians 3. Talking about this thing of sufficiency. Let me run down what was now talking about. Let me run down that just for a minute for you, all right? We're talking about God's ability, that present ability, now, the Bible says. So what was now in reference to? It was now that we're enabled to be enabled by the invincible Spirit of God. The Scripture says, strengthened by might by His Spirit, verse 16 of Ephesians 3. That now you're enabled by the indwelling Son of God, that Christ may dwell in you, or in your hearts by faith, in verse 17. A lot of part of verse 17, now that we're enabled by the indescribable salvation of God, that you be being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. But I've hung on this one. I can't get away from verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And we said now that we're enabled by the infinite sufficiency of God. Now, that sounds boastful if you take it just take that alone. Listen to what Paul told the Corinthian church. Now, you need to understand something. The Corinthian church was the most secular church that Paul had to deal with. 1 Corinthians, he has to deal with things that, man, you'd think he was living in 2021. I mean, truthfully, it's some rough stuff he had to deal with. I mean, there's some rough stuff that he had to deal with. But by the time he was able to write that second letter to the Corinthian church, God had done some things. That first letter had a great effect. And this is what he said. And I think what had happened was they had figured themselves, you know, that they were, like I said, they'd been into a little bit of everything. It was the way they was raised. It was normal, okay? Normal for them. It was sinful debauchery, but yet it was normal for them. And so there was scarcely anyone, maybe except for some of the Jews, that had escaped that terrible life. And of course, the Jews made up a part of that church, but a lot of Gentiles. And so the Apostle Paul's made these words. He said this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, 2 Corinthians 3:4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. And he says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. It's not that we can do it, but our sufficiency is of God. And then here's a verse that just will blow your mind. Preachers, you need to read this every time you bomb one. Who also hath made us able ministers. Able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. God has made us able ministers. And I can tell you that I've seen it. When it was way past me, but somebody said, well, got to pray about it. There's things you ain't got time to pray about. You better get your praying done before the sun comes up, because I'm just telling you, there's times you ain't got time to stop and fast for 2 or 3 days and find out. I mean, sometimes it's split-second decisions, and sometimes it can be life or death. Literally what you're saying and what you're deciding. It's that close. And I promise you that's true. And so I've seen God do it. I'll just give you an illustration. You've heard me tell it. Joel and his wife were on a motorbike on the island of Boreas. They were going up a trail. Those motorbikes were such a blessing. We put those motorbikes there. They'd never been motorbikes. We put motorbikes on that island so they could go across the island. They're going up the trail and hit a wild pig. And when it did, it throwed them off. Throwed them over the handlebars. It catapulted them forward. And Jing landed on Joel. It didn't hurt him, but what happened was it jarred a kidney stone that was hanging loose. And the thrust of it forced it into that ureter. And he began to scream in pain. Well, she can't ride a motorbike. But he had to get back on that thing and try to get back to the village. The little barangay of Cantina. He got there. There's a storm at sea. They can't travel. For 3 days, he's laying with a kidney stone. Absolutely about to die. It's completely got the ureter blocked. No urine is passing. He's in trouble. They finally storm the stormy sea. They finally get him to the mainland. They get him into a little old clinic. And the doctor says, we've got to take the kidney out. It's going to go gangrene. Jean calls me. I tell you where I stand. I'm standing at the Lakeside Center at the Wilds. That's where I'm standing. And there wasn't good service up there at the time. And my phone rang, and it was Jing. And I said, hello. And in part Tagalog, part Cebuano, and part English, she was screaming. I can't understand what she's talking about. We're having a terrible time communicating. And finally, I said, I'll call you back. I called Timothy and Jira. I said, call Jing. And I said, you get on one phone, you should get on the other phone. I'm going to talk to Timothy. Timothy's going to talk to Jira. Jira's going to talk to Jing on the other end. And she got the word to me. She said, they're going to take his kidney out in a clinic. They're going to remove a kidney. And in a split second, I had to say, no, stop it. He's going to die. And this is what I was able to say. I said, I remember when a 6,000-pound packer, when Joel flipped an articulating 6,000-pound packer off what's now Dock 2, and I had a chainsaw laying beside of a hole with a post sticking up out of it, a piling, and I was going to cut that off that morning, and somebody distracted me, and I didn't cut it off. Joel got too close to the edge. I didn't realize he had never driven anything in his life. I told him just to ride around and pack it. Vibratory packer. He was riding around that big old thing. He got too close. He turned it. When it did, it articulated. That thing flipped upside down off. I mean, it flipped upside down off of that dock on top of him. Mark Willis was on a loader. He saw what happened. He jumped and ran. He was an EMT at the time. I ran. It's so heavy, there's nothing I can do. That post caught that thing. And Joel had about that much room to live. He had about 12 inches to live. He crawled out from under that thing. Not a scratch on him. And I told his wife, I said, you tell Jing, I said, God did not spare that boy's life in this country for him to go over there and die of a kidney stone and hitting a pig. And that kidney will work if you'll take that kidney stone out. And they relayed it. She said, no. They said they got to do it now. He going into surgery. He got to do it now. I said, Jing, you have to trust me on this one. Do not remove the kidney. God is going to do something. I don't know what, but I'm telling you, if my name is what it is, do not do it. She said, I trust you, preacher. And she hung up the phone. Just tell you how God works. Within just a short time, it was early morning there. It was late here. The guy that he was dealing with in the clinic, the surgeon, the doctor in the clinic, had went to school, the medical school in Manila, with a guy who was one of the best urologists and urological surgeons in the Philippines. He had come down to Legazpi on holiday. And he calls this guy up and he said, hey, how you doing? This won't tell you I'm in town. No need to stop by. Just want to tell you I'm here on vacation. He said, I can't believe you're here. He said, why? He said, I got a patient that if he don't get operated on it, he's going to die. He said, I'll be right there. He went over there. One of the best urologists in the country of the Philippines. I didn't get to talk to him. I didn't get to give him my 2 cents worth. I just know what the Holy Ghost said. Amen. They cleaned the side of him. They opened that thing up. They went in through that muscle. And there was that kidney stone as big as a jelly bean stuck in that ureter. They took a scaffold. They slit that thing. That thing popped out and the urine just went to squirting. They put a stent back inside of there and sewed that thing back up, and it's good to this day. And that kidney worked from that moment forward. You say, preacher, how did you know about urology, and how do you know about medicine, and how do you? I don't know about any of that, but I know the Holy Ghost, and He designed these things. I'm talking about, we talked to the architect. We went to the engineer that engineered these things. Are you listening to me? Hey, when you've got the blueprint, hallelujah, when you talk to the man that designed this thing, hey, you understand the best urologist in the world don't know half what he knows because he built us, hallelujah. You said it didn't happen. It did happen. It did. And I take no credit for it. I take no credit because my natural thing was save his life, whatever you got to do, save his life. Save his life, whatever. But in the situation they had, in the unsterile environment, to have taken that kidney out probably would have cost him his life. I said, God did not spare him in this country for to go over there and die. I don't believe a word of it. God's got a plan for that boy. I don't believe a word of it. And God's using him like you can't imagine even right now. Absolutely using him. I'm talking about three saved last Sunday. One saved this morning. Just got a text from Joel. So what I'm telling you is real time stuff. It's real. It's true. I'm talking about sufficiency. And our God being our sufficiency, who hath made us able ministers. So there is that present ability, the Bible says now. But then it goes beyond that to the personal ability. Look what the Bible says in your passage. Now unto Him. It's not our ability. It's His ability. I'm glad to report to you that He didn't put the archangels in charge of us. I'm glad He didn't farm us out to the seraphims or farm us out to the cherubims. I'm glad, hallelujah, that those winged beasts and those things that are full of eyes, He didn't put them in charge of us. Oh, happy day. No, we're a hands-on project, hallelujah. Now unto Him that is able. The one who formed the world, the one, my friend, who formed man out of the dust of the ground. I breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's the one I'm talking about. That's the one I'm claiming. That's the one that I'm telling you. Now unto Him, hallelujah, that is able. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then He said, go ye therefore. What do you mean, preacher? He got all the power. Go ye therefore. I've never had anybody do that, but boy, wouldn't it be nice if somebody said, hey, don't matter what it costs, don't matter what it takes, just send me the bill. I've never had anybody do that, but wouldn't that be something? Hey, if the Lord sends you, obviously He's going to take care of it. And we've testified for years that that's exactly what God orders, God pays for. Now unto Him that is able, His personal ability. But can I say it this way? Now unto Him that is able to do. Practical ability. Do you understand that the gods of this world, and there are many of them, India has over 1 million gods of this world. But did you realize that those gods have never done one thing? Do you realize they've never accomplished one thing practically? Now, if you ask the people, they'll tell you, well, this happened and that happened and this happened and that happened. And they'll tell you all this hocus pocus that their gods did for them. And they believe it. But I want you to understand that those gods have never done anything that you can prove or anything that you can see, anything that you can ever get your hands on. They've never done that. But I want you to understand there's only one God, the God of heaven, that can do the practical, hallelujah. He has practical ability. Now unto him that is able to do. To do. It doesn't matter. To do. Whatever it is. To do. I'm glad. Hey, I'm a practical kind of fella. I like to see things. Somebody said, well, those intangible benefits. On the back of those tithe envelopes, it says on there for it to be a straight up contribution, the only thing that you can receive as a result of giving that money are intangible religious benefits. That's what the IRS code says. Well, I don't know how to tell them this, but hallelujah, I've been getting tangible benefits for years, hallelujah, by serving Him. I'm talking about things you can put your hands on, things you can get a hold of. I'm talking about things you can hoot the horn on, hallelujah. I'm telling you that there's some tangible things. And I got some things that I could get a hold of. Yes, sir. I believe that. Yes. I know it's so. Yes. No, it's true. Yes. Strange things. Yes. Odd things. Insignificant things. This week, my wife said, we need to get some new sandbags and replace the ones on that back entrance in case we have a gully washer. Them's coming apart. We need to get some new ones. Take them old ones, get shut up, and we need to get some new ones. I said, sandbags. She said, that's right. Now, I want you to understand, I did not put sandbags on my prayer list, just so you know. Oh, me of little faith, I didn't feel like I needed to pray in sandbags. You know what was on the truck when it rolled up into the pallet down there? But now here's the strange part, and you tell me how this works. They didn't go to Lowe's. They didn't even go to Sam's. They went to Publix grocery store, and they donated a pallet of sandbags. I have no idea how they sell sandbags. More or less, and you said that's a small thing. Not when you've been talking about sandbags. When they walk in, you look at them and go, I don't believe that. You go, it can't be like that. It can't be right. Friday morning, Levi said, the canteen trailer's leaking. Says the grill's rusty. Says it's leaking. I said, we never fixed that. He said, no, we didn't. Said, well, I meant to, but we didn't. And I said, well, we're going to get some Lexel, get up there and caulk it good. And I said, and then get some Cool Seal and Cool Seal that roof on that thing. Because that thing moves, go down the road, and they leak. They just leak. It's just they're bad to leak. Anytime you cut a hole in the roof of anything, it's going to leak if you don't keep it sealed good. I said, get some Cool Seal and fix it. This is not 3 hours. Brother Whittemore gets something out of his car and sets it over on the side of the road. I said, what's that? He said, well, I was going up the mountain and looked, and here's five gallons of Cool Seal rolled off somebody's trailer. And I said, Cool Seal. He said, yeah, Cool Seal. You say, that don't happen. You need to come stick around. You need to come hang out. You really do. You need to come listen. You need to come watch. It's the beatenest thing I've ever seen. Somebody said, it don't happen like that. I promise you. As a car showed up down here, I looked at that car and I said, Lord, what's that about? Lord, what's that about? What's that? Who needs that, Lord? I don't need that. Who needs that? I don't know who needs that car. I just walked around. Look, I said, where'd the car come from? Oh, said to give it. They give it. The family give it. Does anybody need a car? No, ain't nobody got no driver's license. Anybody got to need a car? No, ain't nobody drive a car. Okay, well, I don't know. Little girl pulled in here yesterday with nothing. Listen to me. If I'd have give her the keys to a brand hammer new Cadillac, she wouldn't have cried no bigger tears. Is that little old ratty looking car? Amen. There it's set. The Lord said, boom, there it is. I knew. I knew. Lord, I didn't have to pray to him. I knew. I'm talking about, I'm talking about practical ability. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about unto him that is able to do. And I've seen him do it and do it and do it again. Now unto him that is able to do. Practical ability. Now unto him that is able to do. Let's talk a little bit about his plentiful ability. The Bible says exceeding. It means to go beyond, to surpass, to excel, to outdo. Listen, one more thing. The Apostle Paul wanted to evangelize Asia Minor on his second journey. That's where he wanted to go. I'm sure that Silas, his new mission partner, had heard all about that first trip and all that happened, and everywhere Paul went, son, he preached. Lord, he preached everywhere he went. He preached his way across Cyprus. He preached his way up into the highlands there of Tarsus. He preached everywhere he went. Got stoned, went back, preached. I mean, I'm sure that Silas goes, man, I can't wait for this. It's going to be some preaching. This is going to be good. And they land and they make a couple of visits and they go to a town and Paul says, no, I can't preach here. And then they go to the next town and says, no, I can't preach here neither. And he goes to the next town, no, I can't preach here neither. I bet you Silas thought, what in the world is going on? Paul's a preaching machine and he ain't preached a lick. What's the matter? You see, God had closed his mouth. God had kept saying no, Acts chapter 16. But instead he saw a vision. And in that vision he said, come over here and help us in Macedonia. And for the most of us, let me say it this way, for all of us, because if you didn't get the gospel directly from European ancestry, you got it from a European missionary, no matter where you was raised on the earth. That's where the gospel came. It came through Europe, and that's where it came from. And so he led Paul to Europe, and there he planted church after church after church. But it wasn't until after he left Europe and all that he did in Europe that God let him come back by, and he met with those fellows from Ephesus. And it was on that third missionary journey that God enabled Paul to plant probably the greatest church of the New Testament in Acts chapter 19. And it wasn't that God vetoed his desire to preach in Asia Minor. God said, I got something much better. It wasn't that God vetoed his burden and vetoed his plans. He said, you're thinking too little. You're thinking too small. Hey, people over here in Europe are going to go to hell before you can get over there. And so I got to detour you, run you over here to Europe. We got to run up down that. We got to get that started. We got to get the gospel going over there. You'll have time to come back there. Just the time's not now. Do you understand? There's yes to the will of God. There's no concerning the will of God. And then there's wait. Sometimes it's the will of God. It's just not the will of God now. It was the will of God to reach Ephesus. It just wasn't the will of God right then to reach Ephesus. It was the will of God to evangelize Asia Minor. Hey, you read those churches in Revelation. Those are the churches that were the offspring. There's no record where the Apostle Paul visited both those places where those churches are named. And yet there are vibrant churches. By the time that John wrote the Apocalypse, wrote the Revelation, and around AD 90, I want you to understand these were thriving churches that had already been there long enough to go through apostasy and the various things that happened to churches, and the cooling off, and Ephesus had already cooled off and left its first love. He said exceeding. But then he used the term abundantly. The word abundantly means fully, amply, plentifully, in sufficient degree. In sufficient degree. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly. Have you ever noticed how God does things? He always does it abundantly. You ever notice that? When God decides to do something, friend, it's an abundant. I've always watched that. When God does something, God does it abundantly. I'm amazed. When God answers a prayer, He answers it abundantly. When God provides, He provides abundantly. Who prayed for a mast? Who was it prayed in these things? I've been praying again them. Who's been praying for them? They're in the foyer. Go get them. Whoever prayed them all in, they're out there. There's enough masks out there for everybody in here to have, you know, to wear six a day. I mean, there's a crowd of somebody. Hey, somebody prayed. We got to laughing about Timothy's kids when they come in from the field. They want to see snow, and I said, "How much you want?" They said, "About that much." And I asked the other, "How much you want?" Said, "About that much." I said, "How much you want?" Said, "About that much." Well, in 2018, when they were here, it snowed about that much, then it snowed about that much, then it snowed about that much. And I have given them a hard time ever since. I said, would y'all start praying as a group and quit having individual prayer? Each one of you prayed 6 inches, and lo and behold, we got 18. Would y'all quit it? I said, you prayed a blizzard in on us. Would you quit it? I said this past Thursday morning when we got up into the past, I said, well, somebody prayed the Owens kids out. Somebody beat them in praying. Somebody's prayed them out. God does exceeding abundantly. And the Bible says above. Listen, the same way that the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Ephesus, Paul wanted to go to Rome. And he always wanted to go to Rome, Romans 1:10. He wanted to go to Rome, but he was always hindered from going to Rome. He'd heard about the faith of the people. He didn't start that church. He heard about the faith of the people there. He wanted to go. He wanted to go bad. But the Lord wouldn't let him go. So you know what happened instead? The Apostle Paul sat down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and wrote one of the greatest theological masterpieces of all time, the book of Romans. If he had went and preached the book of Romans to them, you and I probably would have never known anything about it. There was no transcripting of messages back then. You couldn't order the CD at the end of the service. But because he couldn't go and preach it, the Holy Ghost set out on him and he wrote the book of Romans. One of the greatest things you and I have in our Bible. The greatest doctrinal piece is Romans. I mean, that's one of the greatest practical pieces in all the Bible is the book of Romans. The greatest positional piece in all your Bible is Ephesians. Oh, what a treasure. Yes, sir. The greatest practical piece in your Bible is the book of James. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. And all of those have their place and purpose, and God's got a plan for each one of them. But I want you to understand, because God hindered Paul, he wrote the book of Romans. But get this. Later, he sent him to Rome bound. He had plenty of time. Apparently had pen and paper, plenty of time. So he finally went to Rome, but this time in chains. All expense paid trip, courtesy of the Roman government. But it was there in that prison that he penned the great masterpiece, that positional truth of the book of Ephesians. And right in behind that, he wrote Philippians. And then he wrote Colossians. And then he wrote Philemon. And by the way, he just touches it, he just mentions it, but his very presence there in that prison in Rome reached the Praetorian Guard and reached into the very house of Nero. People in the very household of Nero got saved by the grace of God. Do you think he'd ever got to preach? I mean, you think that anybody in Nero's house would have ever got saved if he had went there on an evangelistic journey? Do you think that anybody would have ever, he got to reach deeper, he got to go further, he got to do more in Rome than he could have ever done if he had chartered a boat and went there on his own? God sent him there, and in God's time, all those prison epistles were penned and sent back out. Can I tell you, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above, hallelujah, above that we ask or think. I've got one fellow always asks me about our plans, and he always gets tickled about it. He says, "Preacher, I know you're a planner." He said, "You started out with a plan." I said, "Oh yeah, I've always got a plan." He said, "You got a 1 year? I've heard you got a 1 year plan." I said, "Oh yeah, I can tell you everything I want to do this year." He said, "You got a 5 year plan?" I said, "I sure do." He said, "You got a 10 year plan, don't you?" I said, "I do." He said, "You got a long range plan beyond 10 years?" I said, "I do." He said, let me ask you a question. He said, when the Lord began to stir and the Lord began to work, what happened to your plan? I said, well, the Lord fulfilled that 1 year plan.
The Anchor Home.
We trust today's message from Pastor Barton was a blessing to you. You can address all correspondence to Anchor Baptist Church, 3232 Hendersonville Highway, Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, 28768. If you don't have a church that you regularly attend, we invite you to join us Sunday services at 11 a.m., at 6 p.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. May the Lord bless you till we meet again.